The world turns in the starry black expanse of space. The continents glow as the sun sets behind the globe. Old silver letters outlined in gold orbit the Earth and come to rest in front of the equator. Universal, a Comcast company. The world continues revolving slowly as the sun's rays peek out from behind. A dark room with misty light glowing behind an open door. A chair turns in midair. The door slams. An open book turns in midair. A girl in a dress. A dark corner in the moon above resolves into the shape of a house. BH Productions. Universal Pictures presents a BH production. An engineer production. Light filters through water onto the seabed, carpeted with green seaweed. The view advances across the seabed. The view tilts up toward the rippling surface. Breaking the surface to bright sunshine, a white sandy beach giving way to jungle, and a figure lying in the shallows. A young woman in denim shorts, a backpack, and a life preserver. She has thick, curly hair and looks around wide-eyed. She gets up and hurries to another figure lying a short distance away.
Brad! Brad!
The water around him is stained red, and there's a piece of coral embedded in his torso. She stares out across the empty ocean. The woman unclips her life preserver, tosses it aside, and crouches by Brad's body. She removes a flare pistol and tries to move the body. The woman drags the body up the beach, then sits heavily.
Brad! Brad! It's Jin! I'm gonna help you, okay?
She takes off a silk scarf and examines the piece of coral in his midriff. Jan yanks out the coral and stuffs the scarf into the wound.
Jan.
Hey!
Did you see it?
I need to find you water.
Jan runs into the palm forest and finds a broadleaf with some water in it. She picks up a coconut, holds it to her ear, and shakes it. Jen picks up a rock and pounds the coconut. She tears at the rough, fibrous husk and rips it away with her teeth. She finally breaks through, and coconut water squirts out. More spills on the ground as she picks it up and runs back to the beach. She dribbles coconut water into Brad's mouth, then realizes he's not responding.
Brad. Brad.
Oh my God. His head lolls to one side. Jen stares toward the sea and the life preserver at the water's edge. An aerial view shows the thin strip of white sand and the interior of dense jungle. Jen trudges along the beach, glancing toward the jungle, and passes a fallen hollow tree. A high aerial view shows the beach curving round at an acute angle. Jin walks barefoot along the white sand. She stops and stares. She has arrived back at Brad's body. Jen looks around and puts her hands on her hips. She moves slowly across the leafy forest floor. The bright sun filters through the green palm fronds. There's a cooler and a bag hanging from a branch.
Hello?
Jen goes to the bag and looks inside. There's some dusty clothes and a bottle of pills. Jen reads the faded label and looks around. She opens the cooler. She looks inside, reaches in, and pulls out a small bottle of Coke. She glances at the bag, puts the bottle back, and replaces the cooler lid. Jen crouches down and picks up a vacuum flask. She takes off the lid and shakes it. It's empty. There's a small box. It contains an assortment of small items, including playing cards. Jen finds a box of matches and counts them. She closes her hand around the box and looks around. Half buried under leaves, Jen finds a tarpaulin. Underneath is an old backpack containing a book, Scary Campfire Stories. There's also a small gray teddy bear. Jen also finds a handheld gaming console and another dust-covered box. She glances around with a frown and listens. As the wind rustles the palms, Jen steps back out onto the beach. Following the noise, Jen approaches the hollow fallen tree. She crouches to peer inside. A colorful parrot flies out and flies off out to sea. Jen covers Brad's body with palm fronds. She steps back, looking down at the corpse. Then looks around. The beach and the ocean are empty as the light starts to fade. Jen looks toward the setting sun. After dark, the rain pours down on Brad's body, drips off palm fronds, and into some coconut shells and the old flask. The view moves down wet palm fronds to Jen, huddled in her hoodie beneath. Sunny daytime, and leaves are still covered in moisture. Water drips into a coconut shell. Close up on a fish flapping on the sand. Jen looks down at it. Shielding her eyes against the sun's glare, Jen looks down the beach. Lots of fish have washed up. Jen walks along, picking them up and putting them in a bag. As she puts a shellfish in the bag, Jen stops and stares. She gets slowly to her feet, but approaches something else, which has been washed up. A small shark with deep gouges across its body, Jen looks out across the water. Jen attempts to cut a fish with a small, flat rock. She manages to remove the tail. Jen grimaces as she saws away, trying to remove the head. Jen winces as she scrapes out the guts. She throws the mutilated fish aside, rubs her forehead against her upper arms, then takes a shellfish from the bag. Jen bashes it against a rock and closes her eyes. She fetches the cooler, carrying it down to the beach. From a backpack, she removes a white cap with a Red Rose logo, sunglasses, and earphones. Jen also takes out a notebook with her name in gold letters, Jennifer Remming. She removes the elastic strip and opens the book. The ink has dissolved on the waterlogged pages. Jen stares at the ruined book. She turns a page, then turns over a strip of photos, showing her dressed as a cat with a guy in a skull mask. In one shot, they're kissing. Jen raises her head and stares out across the water. Jen walks through the sunny jungle. She arrives at a sandy clearing. She She crosses the almost circular space and stares down at a crude wooden cross, stuck at an angle in a pile of rocks. She brushes dust off a rock to reveal the letters WW. Other rocks have letters on, too. Jen stares at the memorial, then off into the jungle. Jen returns to where Brad's body is lying on the beach. Jen puts a hand to her nose. A crab crawls on the sleeve of Brad's t-shirt. Jen drags Brad across the sand, then rolls him into a shallow grave. Jen places a palm frond over the body. She pulls sand in over the palm and Brad's corpse. She shoves a stick into the ground with the letter B scratched into it. As the light fades, Jen throws the tarpaulin over a low branch. There are long cuts in the fabric. After dark, she's lit a small fire and cooked a fish on a stick. The small fire flickers in the darkness, and Jen eats her fish. She chews slowly and stares out. The final glow of dusk colors the horizon a pale yellow. In daylight, a hermit crab crawls around a discarded fish head. Jan walks along the sand, dragging a stick behind her. Looking weary, she stops and stares with a frown. The pit where she buried Brad is empty, apart from palm fronds and blood-stained sand.
Oh, my arm.
She stares at the bloody pit and into the jungle, looking around agitatedly. Jen whittles a stick with a sharp rock and keeps looking around. She stands at the tree line with her makeshift spear. Jan rolls a log down onto the beach. It's too heavy to lift. She rolls it a little further, then stops with a grimace. After dark, she lights dry kindling to start another fire on the beach. Jan strolls across her little campsite and sits with her back against the log, using the life preserver as a pillow. She picks up her spear and sits facing the jungle. The scene fades to black. Jan wakes suddenly, sits upright, and stares into the dark jungle. Small waves lap the shore behind her. A log pops in the fire, the flames blowing in the nighttime breeze. Jen rubs her face. She stares into the flames. Daytime. The sun filters through palm fronds. Jan walks out into the water. She raises her arms, shields her eyes, and stares out to sea. There's something in the water. Jan peers toward it, then swims out. Some luggage and an ice bucket. She glances toward the shore, then drops down underwater. Bubbles clear, revealing the seabed. She scans the sand and weeds. She notices a large, almost perfectly round hole leading down to pitch darkness. Jan swims back to the surface, pushes back her hair, and looks around. She drops the white suitcase, which has a colored stripe on it, down on the beach. She removes a sneaker and looks inside, checking the size. She finds a pair of bright yellow short pants and a patterned blouse. Jen removes something in a plastic bag, then tosses it back. She stares at a patterned swimsuit. At night, she moves her feet around in the trainers and squats beside the fire. She opens the small box and takes out the matches. There are just a few left. Jen discovers a secret compartment in the box, which contains photos. Jen leans forward toward the firelight and looks at the pictures, then glances around. She puts down the photos and the box. Jen stands and looks up. Jen scrambles for the flare pistol.
Come back! Take them back!
Jen stares up, wide-eyed. Her face is bathed in the red glow of the bursting flare. The flare drops toward the sea. Just before it's extinguished, a monstrous silhouette appears in the distance, looming out of the water. The flare goes out. Jen stares, rooted to the spot, then dashes up the beach. She retrieves her spear and sprints into the jungle. Jen stops, momentarily off balance, then hunkers down, clamping a hand to her mouth. She looks around, then kneels down, keeping low. The creature appears as a blurred figure nearby. Jen peers out, her eyes wide. Jen's campsite in pale morning light. She runs down to the beach, spear in hand. Jen picks up the Polaroid photos. They're holiday snaps. One shows a young woman hanging the bag on the tree. Jen frowns. There appears to be a pair of glowing eyes in the background. Jen looks around with a frown. She looks down at the life preserver. Wearing a blue patent halter top and pants, Jen empties out the luggage and places the life preserver inside. She places a second life preserver in the other compartment of the case and clips together the holding straps, making it tightly secured. Jen walks down the beach in a patterned bikini, pulling the luggage behind her, leaving twin grooves in the powdery sand. She opens the case up and wades out into the water with it open, clamshell-like, behind her. She tries to climb onto it, but it tips over. She climbs on again, but it capsizes. Jen continues to struggle with the improvised float. She wrestles with a life preserver, then throws the case down on the beach. The life preserver is thrown down too, then Jen drags them both back up the beach. The blazing sun sinks lower in the sky. Jen looks into the hollow tree trunk. Jen sticks a spear in the sand, then slides feet first into the hollow trunk. Wind ruffles the trees and the sky is cloudy. Jen is wearing a hoodie. She rolls over, so is face down, and backs into her hiding place. The scene fades to black. Clouds drift slowly across the face of the brightly glowing full moon. The darkness becomes complete as the moon is obscured. A hermit crab crawls on the hollow tree. Inside, Jen lies with her forehead on her arms. She raises her head. A small rock is dislodged and rolls in front of her. Jen buries her face in her arm. Jen bites her lower lip. The whole tree trunk shakes. Clutches her head, and the tree trunk is rolled. has her eyes closed, grimacing, as she's violently jolted. Jin shakes inside the hollow log. Daylight, and a tiny turtle flaps its way down to the sea. Jin forces herself out of her confined hiding place. The ground around the tree is littered with pieces of bark. Jin stares at the shredded pieces of tree. She walks down a rocky beach toward the water. She scoops up little fish from a rock pool and drops them in the ice bucket. Jin loses her balance and drops a fish. It wriggles around on the bare rock. The bucket is full of discarded bits of fish. Jin dumps the waste in the water. Fish dart around the scraps, and Jin stands waist deep, holding her spear. She flinches as a small shark glides toward her, then composes herself, gripping the spear. A fish approaches, and closing her eyes, Jin stabs down with the spear.
Oh, shit! Yes! 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 Oh, shit!
The spear has gone straight through the small reef shark's head. She carries the fish, maybe 3 feet long, up the beach as the light fades. Cut to black. After dark, Jen is hiding, hunkered down and camouflaged with palm fronds. Her eyes are closed. Jen opens her eyes, and she scans the view, water, trees, and beach from her hiding place. In sunny daylight, a frayed length of rope hangs over a tree branch. Jin is whittling her spear to a finer point with a sharp rock. She stares off and frowns. There's something floating in the water close to the shore. Jin gets up, taking her spear, and goes to investigate. It's a man, face down in the water, in a life preserver. Jin pushes him with the spear, then turns him over. There are deep gouges on his head and face, and his legs are missing. Jin drags the torso up onto the beach. Jin slumps onto the sand beside the torso and examines the deep wounds on the pale, dead flesh. Jin stands and grabs the life preserver. She hoists the torso up with the old length of rope, tying the other end off around a tree root. She walks away, carrying the life preserver. In cloudy darkness, the torso turns slowly on the rope. Jan looks out from her hiding place by the old tree trunk. Jen looks out between palm fronds toward the dark sea. Tall, humanoid creature yanks the torso from the rope and crouches over it. The creature walks away and Jen glances up. Jen stares up wide-eyed. Jen clamps a hand over her mouth as hoof-like feet stomp right beside her hiding place. Sunny daytime, and Jen throws the old tarpaulin on the ground. She pushes the spear through it, then a second time. She unravels a length of rope, which she attaches to a belt tied round a tree. She pulls on the looped rope and looks up into the tree. Jen looks up into a high coconut palm and folds her arms. The tarpaulin is slung between two trees. Jen is lying in the hammock. She looks around, her expression thoughtful. Darkening clouds blow across the face of the sun. After dark, Jen is in the hammock. She wakes up and looks out. Jen looks around at the wind-blown foliage and lightning flashes. Jen looks down toward the ground. The hammock is slung high between the two palms. In another direction, toward the beach, the trees are more spaced out, with sand between them. A figure is moving slowly through the trees. Jen stares, her eyes widening, then sinks down into the canvas cocoon of the hammock. Rope and belt are being pulled. The hammock drops down the trunks, and Jen is tipped out onto the ground. Jen sprints off carrying the spear. As she runs along the shoreline, the creature erupts with superhuman agility from the shallows. rather than running after Jen, it tracks her in the water. The towering creature leaps out in front of her, and Jen lunges with the spear. She's hurled through the air, lands on her back, rolls, then is tossed into the shallows. Jen looks around, but the creature seems to have gone. She spots her spear in the sand. Wind and rain lash the palms. Jen sits high up a tree with her hood, breathing hard. Lightning flickers as Jen sits with her eyes closed. Dawn light stains the clouds pink. Jen's pants have been ripped, and there's a wound at the top of her calf. Jen purses her lips, looking pensive. Bubbles float on the surface of the sea as Jen washes with soap. On the beach, she puts on her sneakers and glances around. The ocean is calm and seems empty. Then Jen stares out. There is something in the water, some distance from the shore. Jen removes the sneakers, walks into the shallows, then swims out. Jen swims strongly toward the object, a life raft. A graphic on the inflatable shows it's for 6 people, and there's a person on board, a young woman. A man also appears. They stare at Jen, who stares back, treading water. As they drag the raft up onto the beach, the man collapses. Then, Jen hugs him.
It's okay. It's okay. Oh, Jen. It's okay. It's okay. I'm here now. Oh, it's gonna be okay.
The woman on all fours stares up the beach toward the jungle.
Oh, this place is beautiful. It's a miracle.
It's incredible.
How is there soda here?
There was a family here a long time ago, and they left a bunch of stuff.
The new arrivals swig bottles of Coke. Jen watches them as they stare off. The woman chuckles.
So whenever you guys are ready, we should get out of here.
Back on the raft.
It isn't safe here. There's an animal.
Sweetheart, I'm sure there's a lot of animals.
It's a monster. Okay, I saw it. It crawled out of the ocean, and it walks on land, and it drags its food back out to this... There's a black hole out there. Okay, Zach washed up. He was already dead, and I saw it drag him out there.
The other two frown and look away.
Okay, the family that I was telling you about. Look at this.
She gets out the photos.
What is this?
You see that? Those are his eyes. It killed them.
How could you know that?
Because I found their graves. They were buried here.
Well, then what happened to the person who dug the graves?
Now, okay, well, there's clearly a current pulling things towards the island. All right, we all washed up here. I say we wait. We see if anyone else arrives.
Same. What if Brad shows up?
Brad's dead.
The woman stares open-mouthed. Jen eyes her with a serious expression.
Brad's dead.
Yeah. I'm sorry,
What happened to him?
Hey, I buried him. I buried him deep into the ground, and this creature came and dug him up.
What does this thing look like?
It's massive. It has two sets of eyes, and it smells. Look, I got it last night. Okay, that's black blood.
Jen looks toward the woman.
Was he in pain?
He knew that he wasn't alone. He knew that I was there with him.
Jen regards her friend gently.
You still have that sound? I guess everyone does. I don't think I'll be coming to the beach much after this. You know, out on the raft. The first time in my life, I thought I was gonna die. I really thought that was it. And it's funny because all I was thinking about is how embarrassing it would be. Everyone back home's just waiting for me to fail. Out in the raft, you don't hear waves. You don't hear anything.
I'd rather die on the raft than in this place.
You don't know what it's like out there.
Jen looks pensive, then walks away. Jen's friend stares after her. The guy is fiddling with the flare pistol.
So we're gonna head west. I saw a bunch of planes go that way. I'm pretty sure they'll see us. Okay, hey. I know this all sounds crazy.
Yeah.
I really need you to believe me.
I do. It's just a lot to process, all right? I mean, we just need a little bit of time, okay?
I'm gonna get more food. We should bring as much as we can. Can I borrow this? Thanks.
He unclips a pocket knife from his belt. Jen glances toward the girl, who's approaching with her arms folded.
Hey, make sure she gets ready.
The guy looks toward the girl. Jen opens up the pocket knife. There are traces of blood on the blade. Jen glances back at the pair, talking, up near the tree line. Jen frowns and looks back down at the knife. She cuts up what's in the bucket and throws the remains into the sea. Jen comes along the beach with the ice bucket, spear, and sneakers.
I got us enough for a week. We gotta be smart with what we have. All right, let's set up the raft.
Jen, we're not leaving.
What?
Not right now. Not in our condition.
We can't do it.
I understand that you're tired. Guys, I'm tired too. I'm exhausted.
We're not just tired. We're weak. We've barely eaten.
You just need to rest up, all right?
No, you don't rest here.
Jen. You've been alone, and you're scared, and I get that. But whatever you've been seeing, this animal...
It's not an animal! Hey, I told you that!
Listen to me. There's nothing for miles, Jen.
Okay, I say we light a huge fire. You said there are planes, right? We'll light a fire and they'll see us.
Jen puts on the sneakers, then stands and looks out to sea. She puts her hands on her hips and looks around.
It's getting dark. Get ready to leave.
Sweetheart, are you even listening to me? We are not getting on that fucking raft!
Just not tonight, all right? We'll figure this out.
Okay.
Jen turns her back on them and walks away. Jen's out in the sea, the water up to her chest. She stares down and back to her friends on the beach. They're walking and talking together. Jen looks out across the water. She puts the flare gun and flask in a backpack, then fish and coconuts in the cooler. Her boyfriend and the girl are sitting on the sand. He's throwing small rocks into the sea. Jen picks up the backpack and cooler and heads into the jungle. Jen comes back onto the beach and places the bag and box in the raft. She glances at the pair sitting on the beach, then pushes the raft toward the water. As the boyfriend looks out to sea, out of focus in the background, Jen pushes the raft into the water. The girl notices.
Lucas?
Lucas runs toward Jen.
Hey! Jen! Stop!
As Lucas grabs Jen, Jen kicks the girl back.
Hey, I'm leaving!
The girl hits Jen in the head with a paddle. Jen sinks, her eyes close, and blood stains the water. The scene fades to black. The view fades up on the moon and a sideways view of the nighttime shore. The view gradually comes level as Jen comes to. She blinks, looking woozy. Jen's tied to a tree, her wrists secured by a rope, looped around the trunk.
Hey, shh, it's okay.
Where's Lucas?
He's just taking a look around. Don't worry, it's been dark for a few hours and we haven't seen anything.
You had to tie me up?
I think just for now. I'm sorry. Really, I shouldn't have hit you like that. I didn't know what else to do.
I don't care. Just untie me.
I think we've all been through something traumatic and we're all just trying to cope with it in our own different ways. I'm just as guilty.
Guilty? Who's guilty? I didn't make this up. I'm not lying to you.
Right. Like when you got mugged before we left. Jen, it's not that I don't believe you. It's just that over the years, you've made it pretty hard for me to believe you.
This is a little different.
I just want what's best for everyone.
I really don't need you to tell me what's best for me.
The girl looks away. Jen eyes her coldly, then starts to rub the rope against the coarse bark of the tree.
I didn't see anything.
There's nothing out there.
Because it doesn't come from the tree.
I just want you to feel safe.
We're all just trying to figure this out.
Figure it out.
Yes, figure it out.
We need to get away from this place as soon as possible.
Do you want me to give you guys a second?
Thank you.
The girl goes, leaving Lucas and Jan alone.
She's really sorry about what
happened.
Yeah,
she mentioned it. Lucas, untie me.
Not until you promise me you'll relax. You all right? I just want to make sure that you're okay.
You're fine.
Lucas leans in close, then gets up and walks away. He puts his hands together, looks at Jen, and shakes his head.
There's always a black cloud hanging over your head. You know that, right? This whole thing, Jen, it's so crazy. I was having a great time all week, on a boat with my friends. Weather was perfect. Brought you on this incredible trip. Everyone's having a great time, except you, right? And the night you come up to tell me that you might not be happy, that you maybe don't want to be in this.
He raises his hands.
Storm clouds roll in. How perfect is that? No matter where you go, there's always a storm right behind you.
Lucas, you know I love you. But this is not the time to talk about this. Let me go.
So what were you gonna do? What was your plan exactly?
I told you. Head west.
No, I get that. But you head west. You get found and brought back home. And then what? You've got no one else. Where are you gonna live? You gonna go back to school? And afford it how? I pay for your life. And you pay me back by taking the raft and leaving me here to starve to death?
You don't starve here. That's not what happens. You get torn into pieces and dragged into a hole in the middle of the ocean. That's what happens here.
The girl is out paddling in the shallows. She folds her arms as she walks. She notices something and crouches down to have a look. She lifts a piece of dead fish out of the water. The water splashes against the back of her legs, and she glances off.
Mia thinks you're starting to sound a lot like Zach.
What happened to Zach?
Lucas grabs a log from the fire and sprints off.
Lucas! Lucas!
The girl's hanging upside down. Lucas attacks with a flaming log. The creature drops the girl and swipes, sending Lucas flying. It dives into the water. The girl's lying in shallows. Lucas rises slowly, and Jan tries frantically to wear through the rope. The rope snaps. Jan gets up and grabs her spear. Lucas crawls toward the water. The girl, her mouth bloody, is suddenly pulled under. Lucas stares, eyes bulging, mouth open.
Run. No.
Jan leads the way back toward the tree line. Daytime, and gray clouds drift across the sky. Jan jumps out of a tree, gets to her feet, and looks up at Lucas, still standing on a high branch.
Are you sure?
I've never seen it during the day.
A view out across the empty ocean. At the camp, the luggage is packed. There are fish, coconuts, and Lucas is fiddling with the flare pistol. Jen puts down a palm frond, and Lucas looks at her solemnly. Jen looks at him and gets to her feet.
There's nothing you could have done.
Lucas looks down.
Give me a hand.
Jen plunges her spear into the water and comes up with a fish. She examines it, hands it to Lucas, who puts it in the ice bucket. Fish are cooked over a fire and wrapped in pieces of tarpaulin. Jen has the matchbox. There is one match left. Jen puts the matchbox on the fire.
I'm going to see if there's anything else we might need from the old campsite.
Jen picks up the backpack and puts the flare pistol in it before heading into the trees. The matchbox burns in the flames. Jen approaches the old campsite. She goes to the bag hanging on the tree, looks inside, and takes out the bottle of pills. She looks off, then walks into the forest. Jen looks around at the wide variety of lush green jungle foliage. A breeze ruffles the trees. Jen returns to Lucas, who's loading the raft. Jen sighs and looks up at the cloudy sky. She bites her lower lip. Jen and Lucas push the raft down to the water. They wade out, getting further from the shore.
All right, climb in.
Jen hauls herself into the raft. There's blood all over the metallic fabric floor. Lucas pulls himself aboard. Jen hands him the paddle, but stares at Lucas. The view dips below the surface as Lucas paddles. Lucas looks startled and stops paddling. He stares down into the water and glances over his shoulder at Jen. Clawed hand broke the surface. They struggle to zip close the opening. Lucas and Jen press themselves against the edge of the raft. The floor bulges as something pushes from below. Something moves along below, pushing up the floor.
You said it wouldn't come out during...
A clawed hand punches through the floor, then a scaly gray head with sharp teeth. Jen kicks it. Lucas picks up the flare pistol and loads around. He misses, and the burning flare fills the raft with fumes. The blunt, monstrous head thrashes. The mouth gapes, and Lucas fires again. The raft is viewed from high above. second flare burns in the creature's mouth. Lucas attacks with a spear. The creature goes, leaving a gaping tear in the floor. Jen is pulled down through the floor. The creature with an alien armored body dives with Jen in its grasp. Bubbles erupt from her mouth as she screams. Her legs flail as the huge armored monster with legs and arms like a man descends powerfully. Jen gets out the pocket knife. Black blood erupts in a cloud as Jen plunges the knife into the thick armored flesh. The creature releases Jen and plunges toward its dark lair on the seabed. It turns its angular four-eyed head, then swims back, surging past Jen toward the surface. It grabs Lucas around the waist and swims downward. Swimming powerfully with its armored but sinuous body, the creature takes Lucas down in the dark, circular hole on the seabed. Bubbles flow from Jen's mouth, and she swims back to the surface. As small fish swim along the seabed, the spear drops down, sticking in the sand. Jen struggles up onto the beach. A short distance away, the raft is also washed back up. Lying in the shallows, Jen stares up the beach, forces herself to her feet, and back to the campsite. Smoke is drifting from the almost dead fire. She blows on it and places a wad of dry kindling onto the ashes. Jen uses a stick to push the kindling down onto the smoking embers. There's more smoke, then the kindling catches. Jen tilts her head back and closes her eyes. She opens her notebook and takes a pen from the backpack.
I'm writing this letter hoping it serves as some sort of proof. A little more than a week ago, my boat went down in a storm, and I've been surviving on this island since. Zach and Brad from our group are both dead. Brad washed ashore with me already injured and died shortly after. Days later, Zach washed ashore already dead. I never knew their last names. Mia Reed and my boyfriend, Lucas Griffin, arrived on a raft a few days after. And they were both killed by a monster that lives just off this island. And there's nothing I can do to prove that. For a lot of my life, I've struggled with being believed. The truth doesn't always come with a receipt. Sometimes all we have is our word.
Jen sharpens sticks and digs in the sand, retrieving human remains. Using just rocks, she manages to make short, sharp sticks from dry bones. She carries a bundle of larger sticks.
There's no way for me to show you the things that I can tell you. But there's a monster here taller than any man I've ever seen. Twice as fast in water as it is on land, and it bleeds black blood. For a week, I've run from it and hid from it. But not anymore. If you find this note, what's left of my body will either be on this island or deep in a hole off the west shore.
Jen builds a line of fires with dry fronds and pyramids of stout sticks.
I hope this letter is enough for you to believe my story. Jennifer Rimming.
Cut to black. The moon at night, its silver glow reflected in the still ocean waters. Viewed from the sea, there's a fire burning at Jen's camp. The creature's angular ridged head rises from the water. Its hoof-like feet stomp on the sand. The fire flickers and the creature stomps through the dense, dark jungle. Stops and looks down at a mound of remains on the ground. Fire flares and the creature is surrounded by a ring of flame. A burning log falls and Jen attacks with her spear, ramming it into the monster's midsection, then falling back, avoiding a swiping claw. The creature looks around and Jen hides behind a tree. She picks up a bone spike and a sharpened stick. There are pyramids of sharpened sticks in the ground. Jen swaps the hands holding the bone dagger and stick spear. The creature passes her hiding place. Jen attacks and is shoved back. She stabs the beast in the leg and is batted away, flying through the air and hitting a tree. The creature pulls out the spear. Black blood oozes. Jen grabs another one and attacks again. She crawls for her weapons, takes one, and strikes again. Jen's shoved on her back, and the creature grabs her in a huge clawed hand. Jen stabs again and crawls away. She grabs another weapon, stabs, and gets thrown down. She gets to her feet and strikes to the head, then crawls through the creature's legs. Before she can reach a spear, she's dragged backward by her ankle. A vast hand grabs Jen's face and lifts her up. Black blood spurts as she stabs the creature in the chest again and again. Jen staggers off, then gets swiped and goes down hard. The creature staggers, hunched over. Jen gets to her feet and runs off into the dark jungle, then to the beach. Jen snatches a spear and runs along the sand. She turns, spear raised and braced as the creature approaches. It stops, saliva dripping from its fearsome mouth. The creature collapses on the sand. Jen moves toward it and stares down at the aquatic humanoid form. Jen grips her spear. Jen plunges the spear down, bearing down with a weight to ram it home. The spear drips black blood as she withdraws it. Jen sinks to her knees beside the body. She pulls out one of her daggers embedded in the tough, armored flesh. Jen grips the weapon in both hands. Jen plunges the weapon down, straining as she pushes it in. Jen mops her brow on her forearm, then pulls another weapon out of the body. Eyes closed, Jen tilts her head back. Jen struggles to her feet. As the view pulls back and away, fires light up the jungle beyond her. The view pulls up and away from Jen, alone on the beach, next to the corpse of the strange marine predator, and the jungle ablaze. The title appears in slim white capitals, Sweetheart. I've been here before, demons knocking at my door. Directed by J.D. Dillard. Written by J.D. Dillard and Alex Thura and Alex Heiner. Produced by Jason Bloom. Produced by J.D. Dillard, Alex Thura, Alex Heiner, Bill Koresh. Executive producers Jeanette Volturno, Beatrice Sequeira, Cooper Samuelson. Unit production manager, co-producer Mark Katcher. Director of photography Stefan Duccio. Production designer Robbie Porter. Edited by Gina Hirsch. Costume designer Romy Isikson. Music by Charles Scott IV. First Assistant Director Toby Pease. Visual Effects Supervisor Scott E. Anderson. Casting by Terry Taylor, CSA. Kiersey Clemens. Emery Cohen. Hannah Mangan Lawrence. Andrew Crawford. J.D. Dillard Film. Co-producer Philip Daw. Unit production manager Mark Kachur. Second assistant director Guy Campbell. Creature designed by Neville Page. Cast: Jen, Kiersey Clemens. Lucas, Emery Cohen. Mia, Hannah Mangan Lawrence. Creature, Andrew Crawford. Brad, Benedict Samuel. Supervising Stunt Coordinator, Ken Clark. Stunt Coordinator, Pat Malicano. Peter Nelson. Copyright 2019, Universal Studios, all rights reserved. Animated Universal Studios logo, copyright 2013, Universal Studios. Universal Studios is the author of this motion picture for the purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Audio description by VSI. Written and voiced by Roland Beer. For the credits, continue to scroll.
This is what you signed up for. You forget. This is what you get. This is what you get. All these eyes in the front row. Hella pure souls in the front row. Remember seeing J. Cole, I was in the front row. Couldn't move, wasn't all if you must know. Still struggling to find who I trust though. All my life in the cut though. All my life caught the bus home through the north side. Then I got a pedal bike, mommy flicked when I got home. Like people get killed out here, but mommy, I'm a rider and a fighter. Never been a dickhead in life, don't ever try me. Don't get it confused cause I'm humble and I'm quiet. Loud niggas step into Sims and get silenced. I ain't got to say how when it don't involve violence. Though I got G's that are ready gonna hear for it, but there's no need. I just want peace. Take me higher, get an eight from the supplier. Make your mind up what you need, what you desire. Niggas hating, but it's cool, man, it's a minor. I just do me in my own lane, I'm the driver. 23 feeling older and I'm wiser. All my life is search for what I die for. Guess I am the one the people I'ma fight for. Surely you should know what you rep, know who you ride for. All my life in a black sheep. All my life in a black kids. Sure, I never really was a bad breed. Daddy pulled you off of me, I man, a nigga move like a taxi, yeah. All my life in the backseat, yeah. You talk about life, is it that sweet, yeah? All these eyes staring at me, yeah. All these rings and I'm missing everyone. All I hear him saying is, look what you become, yeah. This is what you signed up for. You forget, yeah. This is what you get, yeah. This is what you get. Yeah.